एक योग तथा उद्यम से तीन से स्ट्रगल एन इंटरेस्टिंग पीरियड इन माय लाइफ एज लेट एज 1950, I was asked by one of the leaders in our union came from Chicago to visit the shop because it was an outstanding shop. What would I do if I'd have the opportunity to live my life over again? As under the same circumstance, I wouldn't want to live any other way. No other way.
Well, sir, instead of going back now to the Europeans, but while we're on this, it's one of the things I want to do is, I want you to talk about the changes in the union. You started talking about you're now with the business, but what about things like the role of the rank and file in the union? And do you see that changed since, say, 1910? And how?
You must remember that I'm out of the industry now since 1958. That's, 14 years?
16 years. 16.
It's a lifetime.
Okay, but what about until
just a minute. There's changes taking place every day, mechanically, scientifically. While I was still working, I myself, even while I was on vacation, and I visited Hartshoff and Marx, I was received with open arms, I worked there for 30 years, although I was a rebel, but they too, in some instance, one particular manager had a very warm spot for me. Whatever mistreatment I received was not because of him, but because of the union. The reason for it was, when he came in 1919 into the factory, he asked me about conditions, so I'm going to tell you. See, I bring it up to date, to 1958. He came in production was, in the unit was 1,200 with 2 hours overtime.
1,200 what?
Units. Garments.
1,200 coats.
Yes. Okay. We call it units. All right. Because there's coats, back, empty, rest, and so forth. In repair, or bushing, what they call, was 6 cents on a garment. It's awfully high. And he came in with no cooperation. We ran up production from 1,200 to 1,800, but out of it time. We brought down the cost of bushling to 2 cents. He could have never done it without my cooperation. And that was cooperation. And the workers didn't lose anything by it. But what I did, I instructed him to have subordinates lay off the workers, let them work in peace. Whereas before that, I had management before. I could go into that, but that takes too much I went before the board and all that. They'd stand over them and just suck the life out of them. And I instructed him to keep them away. When the government, when the operation is finished, they can examine them. And if things are wrong, they should return it. And if there's no help, if it becomes too bad, they should give him a complaint and no suspension without my knowledge. And I never allowed him to, never was there a person fired. I used to take the suspension and make him take it back. I took it upon myself. I said, give me a week's time. And that worked a little too. See, I used my strength, myself, to improve the worker. So that's how quality is. You see, under a worker government, what else could you do? And that's what I did. Unfortunately, it wasn't. I knew what I was doing. I knew that I was helping government. I wasn't unmindful of it. I was very, but in the meantime, the worker benefit was, so I couldn't help him, certainly the bosses more so. The bosses get, but in the meantime, you see, this minute, it's never forgotten it. It's never forgotten it. When I came out here, this by Vega, you come across him. Amongst the letters, he's dead, young man. He was much younger than me. I wanted to go back because the commission was so terrible here. I shouldn't be bashful. If I need money, assistance, I should let him know. It happens. Now, surely there was nothing personal there. Nothing personal whatsoever. Now, I came out here, and then back, talking about the changes of the workers. I went into the shop, the factories, one place and another. And I watched the improvement in the hearts of my brother into the blue hearts. You see, now it didn't take anything away from me. Now, when I, in 1939, when I came into New York to organize, he took me by the neck. I think he got that, am I? Well.
Well, sir, what about within the union itself, in the beginning, well, two things. One, in the beginning, although the same people had stayed in leadership for years, the rank and file had a fair amount of power and voiced their feelings and did exert some power. Did this change over the years, you think? The respect by the leadership for the rank and file, the wishes of the rank and file?
Did that change?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of power? They come and tell them, this is it. And that has changed a long time ago.
When do you think it changed and why?
Well, listen, I, as far as I'm concerned, it's changed in 1920. When I told you, I hate to put this, but this is. I'll tell you this, it is. That's why I say. You won't find it in books. That this is why I say. This, what I'm telling you, won't be found in any other histories. When I went to the Boston Convention, and I said to Bessie, what about, why do we change the Constitution? What's the big idea? You were supposed to take over the industry eventually. Ah, sir. No, that's what you're not going to lose. Now,
sir, in other words, you think that by 1920, really, the leadership was not as responsive to the rank and file.
Well, they were responsive, but rank and file, I suppose, weren't any. You see, the leadership is what the rank and file is. I don't think that leadership is any different from the rank and file. It's the rank and file that makes the leadership and vice versa. You can't separate the two. I don't think so. I don't think so. Of course, it takes an unusual personality to make good rank and filers. It's true. But in the main, you study it yourself. You see if it isn't so. Look, a son of a bitch like Hitler. They did not agree with him. But he had such a power over them. So it is, as far as the tailors are concerned, sure there will be some reason. You think everyone agreed to the present settlement? How many dare to voice the sentiment? There were probably one or two that even thought of voicing it. I was not son. Now, I was crazy, Sarah. Remember I showed you a letter when I said that I gave him whiskey to brought him home to my house? He slapped my hands down. I said to him, you have to take us to the hotel in our own union. It wasn't good enough to get an induction. I mean, that's the truth. Will you find that in the books?
Well, but Sarah, obviously there were, in the beginning, there were other fighters like you. At what point did it change?
Frank Rosenblum was a fighter. Sam Levine was a fighter. Sam Risman was a fighter. They were all fighters. They fought to get away from the United Garment Workers, certainly.
Yeah, but then what?
Then they become like me. Frank Rosenblum told me, he says, look. Everything deteriorates, even a steel block structure deteriorates. Yeah, he told me that this was a fellow in my son's house. This was about 45 years ago.
I mean, so way back then,
they
knew that, they weren't fooling themselves that they had such a good ideal.
Of course not. That's what I looked up to Frank, and I still maintain that intellectually, I don't think there was a better labor leader, considering all things. He was an idealist. In his youth, he was a socialist, belonged to the Socialist Party. But materialistic, the process of evolution works nicely, in my opinion. It will all come out in the wash, eventually. And we'll have a good human system. Eventually, it won't go on like this forever. All this to me, I think.
Well, Sarah, how would you have liked to have seen the union develop?
You know, I have standards. I think I must have been in 48 or in 1950. I have written, scribbled somewhere. If I had the power to take over industry, what would I do with the workers? Would I give them all freedom and do what they want? No, I wouldn't. Not as it is today.
What would you have done?
I would put them through a training school first. And this is what I was trying to do all the time that I was in the union. Try to educate them to the responsibility of creating for the benefit of all, not for selfish. This is my image, my desire, my hope for the future humanity. That's it. But not right off the bat. The fact is that I didn't allow people in the shop, but I had to, well, I had to say so. I may hate to use the word power. When they put people on time work, when they were piece work, and they went like this, I didn't like it. I said, what are you doing? I said, they're going to add that on to the price of the garment? And a fellow that built your house will charge you more for it. Don't do that. Produce what you're supposed to. Be conscientious about it. Do it right. Don't overdo it, but do it right. That's my way of...
Well, how would you have organized the union differently over the years?
Can I get to you in a better way than this?
No, I mean, in terms of how would the rank and file have gotten
now,
involved?
To put it plainly, you know, let me say that, here's again, this, I'll come home again, I'll say, all right, I can't give you publishing a book, or writing a thesis for your master's, I can't tell you about it. Coat. All right. Now look, honey. I'm putting you in charge for this community to put out 100 garments so 100 people will benefit by it. This is your duty. How long will it take you? That's your affair. The sooner you get through it, the better for you. The rest of the time is yours. That's my organization.
So
is that simple?
Mm-hmm. Work it yourself.
That's it. I can't, if you're an artist, I can't explain that to you, see? Because you have to get away in the woods by yourself, by the water falls. I don't want to get poetic.
Mm-hmm. Want some water? You want some water?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to take it without water?
Yeah. Give me a little water, please.
Vision. Now,
you see that it's pretty difficult. I don't see how. How else you could build a society suitable to my way of thinking, other than what I described in a very unsophisticated way?
Well, Sarah, how do you think that the union could have maintained its vision of workers' control and continued functioning in the society as capitalism became more and more concentrated?
No. Not under the second. Not be alone, no. Not the clearing industry alone. It's very insignificant. You see, it takes the basic industries to join them. Although, you see, it was the clearing industry that helped build the automobile industry, the steel industry. I can show you books that stand full of the steel worker strike and the automobile strike. And we fell way behind. Now, it's a ridiculous way that they're going to give us an increase. In October, they're going to get a $5 increase for the retired people. In 50, in 75, you're going to get another $5. It'll be $95. And in 76, and who in the hell is going to live that long? Your sons of the bitches, then they realize that they're all the cuckers that they could. Well, it's so ridiculous. All right, new ones retire, so they're going to get it. But for themselves, like the congressman, the senator, they retire. After 5 years, they get so much and so much. And there's no difference. There's absolutely no. So how long can it go on like this? You know, I recall Mayor Holm, who's a socialist. I don't know if you ever heard of him. You're too young for that. I'll never forget his analogous. Monkeys. They were messed all the coconut. Right. So what the hell is it going to do with all of them? That's the style. So what can you do with all of them? If you're out in the desert, you have all the gold. Can you eat the gold? You deprive the average citizen or the average worker who is just doing. How much can you steal from him? How long can you steal from him? You steal a dough, what are you going to choke on it eventually?
Well, do you think, are you trying to tell me then that you're not, you don't resent the way the union changed?
I do resent, but there isn't anything that I can do. It takes the multitude. We all get together, you can do. And that takes the process of evolution. That's what I believe in. Evolution before you get to bring about a revolution.
Well, okay, so how would it have happened? How could that union have been kept honest? I mean, not honest in the sense of corrupt, but in terms of ideals.
You can't. Under this system, you can't. They're doing the best under this system. We have honest leadership in our union. I'm speaking for our union.
Well, but by honest, is that... Well,
they're honest.
Okay, I don't mean
under
the question. What about responsiveness to the rank and file?
They are responsive. As responsive they can be. They can. What are they going to do? It's only a very insignificant industry. There's nothing to it. I mean, you can't. And I can only speak of it. Something that I'm familiar with, something that I know. I'm not going to, as I told you before, I have no authority on writing books or preparing the thesis for my master's. But they are I say, as far as, I don't know about present top leadership, but the first top leadership that included, that included Schlossberg, Frank Rosenblum, Sam Levine, Hillman, Miller, maybe one or two more. But the subordinates, I don't swear by their subordinates at all. The underlings, I don't. We had trouble with them. But it's interesting to know the background of our union. I mentioned Sam Levine. For instance, when I was business agent, sitting in a business agent meeting, we had nationality business agents, Lithuanian, Polish, Italian, machinist local, sponges local, carriage local, drones local. Lithuanian local business agent had a farm. I'm going to show you, Sam Levine is dead. To me, he was outstanding. I liked him. I liked him as a human being much better than Frank Rosen, although I sided in with Frank Rosen because of his intellect. I liked his intellect. We're sitting at a business agent meeting. All of a sudden, I hear Sam Levine. I forgot his name, Lithuanian name. He says, "You do that, you are going to be not only expelled as a business thing, but you'll be expelled from the union. You're selling eggs, you're not taking care of your union business." He was selling eggs. He had a little farm. I mean, to that extent, he had to devote every minute of his time to the union. He was very strict. I mean, we have to be on our toes. Yet, I know that some of the manufacturers that I took care of, and he didn't pay a living wage, he went to complain that I want to put him out of business. He called me in, gave me hell. I said, "Well, you go take care of him." I wasn't bashful. I said, if a man can pay a living wage, a man has four or five children, he can make $1.50 a day. Well, this was 1922. But honesty, you see, you was honest. You had to be on your toes.
Well,
you don't find that in every... You take the history of the electrical workers. You know the history of Mike and Brella? you were no labor history. You see, I left, like they say, with venom, the history of the labor movement, part of it. Mike Timbrella was the president of the Electric Workers Union. He go to where they were building a big building. He always go with an umbrella. And then they didn't put enough money in there, they were a strike in the building. So they called Mike Timbrella. And that's another bricklayer's union. I mean, this is authenticated. That's in the labor movement in the past, and I think that I've been cleared up a good deal. I don't know how much, because I'm not familiar. I can't speak for other unions. But this I know from history that I read and understood, labor history. The bricklayers union, they had elections. Did you hear about that? No? You better get next to your labor history. Now get next to some of the intellectual information. An election. They were holding an election. So there was nomination, an election. They nominated Johnson, Smith, Cooper Smith, and one that was in power originally was Michelson, and they cut off the names, and everyone that got up to say that they accept, think there was a brick on his head, down they went, they hit him over the head. The only one that was left was the originals. That was the original, that was in the past history, that's how the labor movement evolved. It was the same thing in the clothing union. How did they evolve?
Well, still, wasn't there any fight to unseat? I mean, here you had a group of idealistic young men in 1915 who formed the Amalgamated.
14.
Yeah. But they then kept their power for 50 years. Wasn't there any attempt
to unseat them?
And, well, also to just change leadership. Not even a matter of unseating them. I mean, why should...
I think I told you about it.
Well, I know about the fight between Levine and Frank Rosenthal.
Yeah, that was Chicago. That was the only...
But why, I mean, it seems peculiar to me that... I mean, that's how things become institutionalized and how it becomes unrevolutionary. People get into a position of power and they become more concerned about maintaining their position than about their ideal. Now, there must have been other people around who felt that way.
Yeah.
Or was it always just power play? Was it ever a group of people who were idealistic, who wanted to bring the union back to some of its original ideas?
Well, it seems, you see, I advocated against it all the time that I was a member of the union. I always advocated. So I was the only fool that lived up to it, including Schneid, see? Now, when we unseated, supposedly unseated, Levine, Marion Petrie, that's right, they were the big shots in Chicago, we unseated them. So Hillman came in and made them bigger. Now, you see, what happened was, there was Charlie Weinstein, Spivak, Schneid, and myself. Now, they all remained in power. I was the only one that got out. It's something like I asked Frank just about before I retired. I spent some time with him in the hotel. I said, what's going to be talking about when, that was when the CIO and the AFL united again. Mm-hmm. I said, well, what's going to be? He said, well, I have caretakers. He brought out the fact that, believe me, money isn't everything. Power hungry. They don't want to change.
He said they developed a vested interest in not rocking the boat. Basically, in not giving worker control, but in upholding capitalism, because their power is being derived.
Yes, they're upholding the capitalist system.
And that's the basis of their power. Is that they, in effect, control the workers?
It wouldn't happen then, because eventually it's going to topple over like...
But, Sarah, why will it topple over if everyone sells out?
It doesn't make any difference. There will come a time you don't know how... I don't know. I'm not smart enough. But I, as I say, maybe I'm a fool for predicting. I don't think that the time is very far off. Well, it's going to topple. It cannot go on like this.
But why will it necessarily get better? It may topple get worse.
Did I say it's going to get better? I don't think it's going to. it's not going to get better. I don't say it's going to get better.
Well, implied.
I hope it does get better. I don't care if it gets better. Listen, the thing is this. You, philosophically speaking, now I'm not a philosopher, but I can't help every one of us have a certain philosophy in mind. How can you help it? Index is being concentrated into your hands, right? So what does that signify? What does it signify? Anyway, this common sense. You're going to tell me Karl Marx, this Karl. I'm not talking about it. I don't know enough about Karl. I didn't study Karl. I read something about I don't want to go into that. I have a feeling. It's a mystical feeling. like the tapes, you know. Tapes in the eye. 8 minutes of the tape. But the thing is, this, I maintain that I cannot go forever. I venture to say, if ever my scribbling will be read, it won't take a quarter of a century that this whole system will be toppled over. It'll be an entirely new system. It'll be a more equitable and more humane system than there is now. Sure, they'll suffer more than what they are. There'll be a lot of suffering until it's within a change. And that's the way I feel about it.
And it'll happen regardless of if people sell out their ideals or not.
Well, it's better if they help it along. There's no question about it. You know, I told you about the three of us, my father and mother and myself. You've got to help it along. I'm all for helping. But whether you help it, the more you help it, the better it is. But whether you help it or not, it's inevitable. It's absolutely inevitable. You cannot continue at the same basis that it's going. This whole thing.
It's a religious act of faith on your part.
I can no more answer that than I can answer why I protected and defended them in all my life. That's the truth. I cannot enumerate. I don't know. I have that deep feeling. You have that deep feeling in me. I say that I wouldn't want to turn over the power to the workers as they are now without some semblance of training. That's it. Because I saw what they can do. If they have to have the responsibility. They should know that. Now, Billy, everything to George. Remember that the next one's life is as important as your own. It's a long. But I say this, if ever my scribbling is read, that in the next 25 years, it'll be an entirely new era. It'll be a much better world. Much better. There wouldn't be this struggle for, wouldn't be so much greed. Impossible. People are greedy, killing.
Sarah, let me ask you this.
I'm going running up in a tandem. I'm not. I'm pretty sane.
Do you think, I think it's an act of faith. I think it's like a religious belief almost. I mean, you think it's completely inevitable that it... Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think that it is gone... Okay, the workers live better now. They get better pay. Conditions are better. But do you think that the society... You said greed before, that people are going to be less greedy. Do you think that since 1910... In 64 years, people have become less greedy or more greedy?
They're not less greedy. They're not more greedy. No, I don't think they're more greedy. It's going to be an entirely different change. Their outlook on life will be different. Their outlook towards life will be different. What I say... Now, it's just common horse sense. I mean, so you live 100 years. Good. It's a nice age. So what? You can't take anything with you. Why not live like this human and share what nature has created. Share it and enjoy it. Let's enjoy it together. Why be greedy? Why deprive one of health care, medical care? You want to go to a hospital? Can't do it because you're going to take my house away if I have to undergo an operation. So, I mean, that, all those things are the thing of the test. Within the next 25 years, I'll be absolutely non-existent. First of all, they have discovered so many more new techniques.
But why will they necessarily use it for human betterment?
Why? They can't help it. The process of evolution will take care of it. Why is it? It's a mystery. What is life? Where do we come from? Where do we go? Did ever anybody came back to tell us where we're going? Where we come from? What is this? They tried to create men out of what? Listen, you set up a program where we can make money to help the women liberate the man from slavery so they don't commit suicide and die before women do.
Well, if women get better jobs,